We're joined today by, I think, one of the favorite Giants of all time, and always a pleasure to have him with me anywhere, and that is Will Clark. Will, good morning. We did a show the other day, Will, which was just outstanding, and I learned so much about autism, and I know it's been a big part of your life with your son, and I'd love for you to just tell fans a little bit how they can contribute and how it's touched your life.
Well, you know, you can go to the Giants and they'll put you in touch with various autism groups around the Bay Area here. Or you can go to autismspeaks.org and they will steer you in the right direction. With the disorder encompassing 1 out of 88 kids now, you know, needless to say, pretty much a lot of families are going to be affected by this. And, you know, everybody's going to have a lot of questions and seek out a lot of answers. And so that's probably the easiest way to get in touch with somebody.
Yeah, the education for me the other night when Rennell and Chris Gargano did the show with you, it was amazing for me because I didn't realize the improvement that could be made. And you talked about Trey, yeah, a 2 or 3 year old. And I asked you, how did you know? And you explained it, and then all of a sudden we look at the progress and how it happens.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, you see a young man like Trey and see how much strides he's made. And, you know, you always say that there's, you know, the pot at the end of the rainbow. So, you know, there's some good things ahead. Other families are having, you know, a little slower time of things, but any little positive thing that you see day to day is a big deal in these kids' lives.
What are some of the signs you look for in improvement?
Improvement would be social interaction. Okay. You know, talking with people. It sounds sort of simple, but you know, that was Trey's big delay was, you know, I'd say, hey, Trey, go say hi to Mr. Marty. Yeah. And he'd say, hi, Mr. Marty, and turn around, walk off. Yeah. You know, it's like, no, come on, let's go. Let's talk to Mr. Marty, you know, about his radio and talk to Mr. Marty about baseball, stuff like that. You know, you lead him into more of conversation. So that's sort of his delay, and that's a lot of delay that I see in a lot of the kids.
And that improves over time. And how do you do that? What sort of work do you do with someone? Because this is what this organization's all about.
Yep.
Because this is one, and you told me, Will, this is one where the money goes to this organization, yep, and they use it for these purposes. So how does all that happen?
You know what? It's pretty strange how it happens. One of the things my wife Lisa and I found out that Trey really benefited from was team sports.
Okay.
You know, being around other kids, whether it be basketball or baseball or, you know, going to football games and stuff like that. You know, being around other kids and being in that social environment has really helped out Trey. Other kids, you know, get it differently. You know, it's more one-on-one interaction. So it just depends individual to individual. But, you know, the one thing that I had a chance to learn, you know, being an adult is the fact that I've had to learn patience. And, you know, at times, you know, in my playing career, I was not a patient person, but now being a father and, you know, being an advocate for the autism community, that's one thing that I do have a lot of.
All right. Boy, it's a pleasure to talk to you about this because I think it's so educational for people. Now that we've chatted a little bit about it, give the place where people can go to, you know, now we've caught some attention.
Yeah, it's autismspeaks.org. And if you're having problems, you know, getting through to somebody right there, you can get in touch with the Giants community fund people, community services here at you know, AT&T, and they'll direct you in the right area.
Bertha there Fajardo. She's terrific.
Yes,
Will Clark with us, of course. Just nice to hear his voice. You know, we were talking just before we came on, and I said, God, I went to college. I was an accounting major and then went to law school. I never said a word. I was one of those kids who just went to class and did his thing. I became a lawyer and represented someone the first day, and I haven't stopped talking since. You are one of the great ambassadors of baseball. Tell me about your college career, what you majored in, and whether you ever thought that you'd be sitting here today, 8:30, 9 o'clock, when I walk in, you're at the park, you're one of the people, they love you, and you reach out to people. Did you ever see this coming?
You know what? I did not see this coming. When I was in college, you know, it was still, you know, question marks on the horizon as to what I was going to do. I studied petroleum engineering in college, because I love the outdoors. I'm an avid outdoorsman, and so I figured if I was going to get a job, it would be somewhere outside you know, of an office. It'd be somewhere in the bayous or the Gulf of Mexico, you know, drilling oil or whatever it might be. And, you know, get over there to Mississippi State, and, you know, and then the baseball career took off, and the 84 Olympic team, and, you know, some All-Americans and stuff like that. And so baseball sort of got ironed out within two or three pretty quick years.
But how about the part of this? You're the ambassador.
You know,
seriously, you can't walk outside without 100,000 people coming after you.
You know what? I really enjoy it. You know, when we were on the field for 3 or 4 hours, whatever it might be, you know, I had a job to do, and I was away from the fans. You know, I was doing a job for the fans, yeah. But I was away from them. And now that, you know, I'm a special assistant, like you said, a community ambassador. You know, during a batting practice, I'm out there with the team and trying to help out as much as possible. But as soon as the game starts, you know, I'm up in the stands, I'm up in the suites, and I'm meeting a lot of people. And, hey, Will, how you doing? And, hey, partner, how's everything going? And, you know, keep pulling for the Giants. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. It's something that I really, really enjoy. And, you know, the Giants have found a little niche for me, I guess you want to say.
Yeah, that's great. Will Clark with us. Always a pleasure. I love running into you. Spring training out here at the park as well. I was with Eddie Montague the other day, our wonderful supervisor, National League umpire. You know Eddie so well.
Very well.
And, you know, he was on this field for many moments. He was there when Pete Rose broke the record and all that. And he says, you know what? I was umpiring the day that Will broke in and hit the home run off Nolan Ryan.
I said,
really? And he said, you crushed it, put your head down, and ran around the bases. Take us back to that moment for fans that don't remember. Will's first game. Was it first at bat?
First at bat.
The great bat. Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, facing.
In the Astrodome. Go ahead.
Facing the Express. And, you know, some of the guys, you know, before the game had told me, you know, he likes to throw a lot of fastballs away. So I was like, all right, we'll look out there. And he actually did me a favor. First pitch, he threw me a curveball for a strike. And I sort of backed out the batter's box, and I had a little grin on my face, and I remember the catcher looking up at me, and he says, what are you laughing at? And I said, Nolan's throwing me curveballs, you know. And he missed with the next pitch, and then the 1-1 pitch got a little bit of the plate, and I went out there and I hit it, and as soon as I hit it, you know, I knew I caught it pretty good. But you know, you're talking about center field and the Astrodome. It's like, that's a long way, that's a long poke. And I'm running around first, and I see the ball clear the fence, and it was just jubilation, running around and, you know, touched home plate, pointed up in the stands to my family, you know, went and gave everybody a high five. And then, you know, things sort of calmed down a little bit, and I'm sitting on the bench. And I remember sitting on the bench. I'm right next to Chili Davis. And I looked at Chili, and I go, oh, my goodness. I said, he's going to drill me next time up, huh? And Chili looked at me with this just flat-out plain grin. He goes, oh, yes, he is.
So what happened the next night?
Well, he was in his windup, and I was already falling to the ground.
So true. Boy, Nolan Ryan, that he did that. You know, you broke up his no-hitter. I remember Nelson Liriano. I'll never forget that story. He hit him in the neck the next time up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, there was just a simple rule going around. Do not bunt on Nolan. You bunt on Nolan, you will be wearing one in the ribs, you know, next at bat. But that's, you know, that's old school baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was sort of the kind of baseball I was brought up in. Needless to say, the game's changed quite a bit now. I mean, you know, you have a little, you know, Madison Bumgarner try to go get somebody the other day, and, you know, you got a big dust-up benches clearing and all that. We never did that. It was just you plunk somebody, you move on, and then we'll get you sooner or later.
Yeah, Charlie Kerfield, my good friend, the Philly scout, always said, Nolan Ryan would say to Charlie, this man needs a bow tie.
There it is. Tie him up.
Right, he would give him one right under the chin.
Yeah, that's right.
So here, Guzman celebrates the other day and, you know, does the hop and all this, a big home run.
Yep.
I like the fact that Bumgarner was the guy on the mound. 23 years old. He didn't mess around. First pitch, right at him. And I think that was sort of a maturing moment for him.
You know, and then not only that is the fact that, you know, if you're going to have anybody do it, it's the big fella out there.
Right.
You know, I know Guzman took a step out to the mound, and he looked up and he goes, oh, geez, I picked on the wrong guy here. The old 6'5", you know, inch big old fella out there. So, but, you know, the game has changed quite a bit. That used to be a common occurrence. And on top of that was guys pitched in effectively. All right. And that means, you know, throw a ball up under your hands or throw a ball in at your belt loops, whatever it might be, just so you move off the plate a little bit so that they can get back to the outside corner, stuff like that. That does not happen in a game anymore. And because of that reason, when one does get away, these guys don't know how to get out the way. I mean, I hate to say it, but, I mean, look how many guys are getting hit in the hands and in the wrists, and you know, ball ricochets and hits them in the face, you know, stuff like that. We never had that happen. Anybody got hit in the hands, that was like once in a blue moon. So...
Boy, different. How about pitchers getting hit? We had that. I mean, it seems to me pitchers get hit almost every day. And
you know what? That goes back to some clubs' philosophy is like, you know, hitting the ball back through the middle of the field. And when you do that, when you hit the ball back through the middle of the field, your timing is much better. You stay on the ball longer. And because of that reason, you have a lot of major league hitters now that are coming up to home plate that are actually trying to hit the ball back through the middle. And it makes sense. I mean, you look around and, you know, third baseman, first baseman, second baseman, shortstops, these guys take, you know, mucho ground balls every day, you know, to perfect their craft. And the guy who's probably closest to you, guy who's moving, guy who's probably the worst fielder in the world is the pitcher. So definitely I'm going to be aiming at him.
Yeah. Boy, it happened. Godin took quite a shot the other night.
Yeah, he did. I've been all over him. You know, he's a fellow Louisianian. You know, I nicknamed him Pincushion yesterday.
Because he got one in the first inning off his butt.
He got two. Yeah. He got two before he got hit in the forearm. So I was going to go buy one of those, you know, shooting targets and just put bullseyes all over him on him. But, you know, that just goes to show you, you know, in the major leagues, you leave a ball out over the plate, you're asking for some damage, and especially back at you.
Boy, and I said that earlier in the show, when the Giants miss, they miss up.
Yeah.
They don't miss down.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, here you are in this ballpark, you know, and, you know, the ball has a tendency not to go anywhere, especially in the air. We get good fleet outfielders. So, you know, here at home, you'll have a tendency to miss up a little bit because you can get away with it. On the road, you cannot get away with it at all, and you have to miss down.
Wow. Will Clark with us. I don't even have to say the name. Everyone knows that voice, and a big part of the Giants' history and a big part of the Giants' organization today. Mississippi State, I just noticed this morning, fella.
Yeah.
Back in the finals,
the old World Series.
The
old Bulldogs are
in
the finals. Yes, I have been following it. We got
you got Crawford here at UCLA.
Yeah, we got some other guys that have been in there. Susak, one of our minor leaguers, Andrew Susak, he's from Oregon State.
Right.
We beat them twice, so I've been texting him pretty hard. And then Brandon Crawford and I, he's we're working on a bet
now. I'm sure.
You know, if the Bulldogs win or if the Bruins win.
Yeah.
It ought to be fun. It's a good thing for the university, being back in the College World Series and to make it to the championship game.
Yeah, it's great for kids, I mean, to be there. You were there. And Greg Olson texted something. I don't know if you follow him on Twitter. Are you on Twitter at all?
No,
good for you.
I'm not on any of that social media. Sorry, I'm a dinosaur.
All right, Greg Olson, remember the relief pitcher, tweeted something the other day. He was complaining about the bats. You know, the college game has changed to such a degree with the bats and everything that you don't have the power you used to have.
Well, I can tell you one thing right now. I've picked up some of those bats, those BB Core bats and all that sort of stuff. And let me just tell you, for everybody out there who's playing, you know, high school and college ball, if you hit it on the screws, it will go.
Okay.
All right? That's the way it is. It has a lot to do with the Indian and not the bow and arrow.
Got it.
You know, if you get out there and you put a good pass on the ball will leave the yard. I've hit with them enough, and I know.
Okay. All right. It's good to know that. All right. Will Clark with us. One other thought I had for you. The All-Star game is coming up. You're a six-time All-Star. How was your All-Star experience?
You know what? My All-Star appearance was pretty good. It was, you know, back then it was before, you know, they made the rule where, you know, you get home field advantage in the World Series.
Oh, God. What do you think of that before you answer that?
Stupid rule.
Yeah.
Stupid rule, but, you know, All-Star game was an exhibition. And so, you know, you're going out there and you're taking BP and you're trying to hit every ball out the ballpark. And, you know, you're doing home run derbies and you're intermingling with the fans and, you know, other players from different leagues. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, with like I said, the advent of, hey, look, I got to win this game, you know, to have home field advantage in a World Series, it puts a lot more stress, a lot more pressure on this game.
Boy, nice to have you here. A big hit in the All-Star game? Do you have a favorite moment for the All-Star game?
Oh, my. You know, I had a few pretty good hits. I had a three-run homer off of Rick Aguilera down there in San Diego.
Right.
One year I was the leading vote getter for the All-Star game. So, you know, yeah, I've had a few good memories.
Good moments. How long are you here for then?
I'm here the whole homestand, and this is the first pretty good homestand since the kids have been out of school.
Yeah.
So we've got a little family vacation going and everything, but we're having a lot of fun.
So Trey's with you?
Trey's with me.
Okay, in the clubhouse?
Yeah, he bat boyed the other day.
Very nice.
He's been in the clubhouse helping Murph a little bit, and then probably tomorrow, being that it's a day game, might be optional BP. I'll have Trey probably in the batting cages swinging a little bit.
Terrific. I always like saying hello to him, and he says hello back to me.
Well, thank
you. He's very good.
I appreciate that.
All right, Will Clark with us. Well, one more time, where people can go if they want to get involved with autism. Very
important.
Once again,
it's autismspeaks.org, or if you cannot get in touch with anybody there, please contact the Giants Community Services, and they'll direct you in the right area.
All right. Thank you so much. Back out to the field. A little BP today. What's going on out there?
We got a little optional BP, but there's some people that are not going to be optional. It's going to be mandatory. So thanks so much, Marty, for having me on here, and we'll see everybody here at the ballpark.
All right. Thanks, Will. All right. That is the great Will Clark right here on KMBR 680, the sports leader.